What follows is a reading from Thaliad, a blank verse poem in 24 parts. This is part 4. Beyond the blasting fire, all roads are long. The children wearied of the way before, the path was hours old, complained or yelled, and, taking turns, pushed north across state lines. Some slept and woke to see the landscape changed from mountains into hills and farmers' fields, though seldom did they see a sign of life, except for deer and red-tailed hawks and birds. One time a bellowing blockade of cows scared the children into shouts or silence, as was the nature of each one, but Ran declared the herd was crying to be milked. "We will need milk," said Thalia. "So sniff and find the path to where we're going, cows." At that remark, the weeping Gabriel let out a snort, hiccuped, and laughed out loud. "See those long rows of green," he said to her, "and then those wavy hills. One day I walked up there with my father. I'm sure it was the place. It could have been. It looks the same. We found a sourwood tree that had been killed by something. The leaves still drooped in place, though every one had faded into brown. When we came closer, leaves burst into wings. The tree was green, the death was butterflies, alive and pouring like a waterfall, but upside down from us." His gentle voice lingered in her ear, but when she answered, he had begun to cry and did not hear. Bespelled by dust, a seeming endless track unreeled before the van, and soot with snow that fell from blackened wings of butterflies. Two boys once sprinted from a wood and chased the car to hurl chunks of concrete and stones at frightened faces pressed against the glass. Sophrasia, driving, jammed the pedal down. Stone-kissed, a window blossomed spiderwebs. "They hated us. Did you see they were burned? What did they want with us? What would they do to us? Don't trust. Don't stop. Don't listen. Don't. They might have killed us or done something worse." "What's worse?" "I don't know, but there might be worse. There's things teenagers know that we don't know. But I know everything. There's nothing worse." "And so do I. And I say there is worse." "What's worse? Who says what's worse? What is the worst? Who cares? Let's always run and not find out. We ought to have a gun." "You never shot a gun. You'd shoot yourself." "I never would. What I say is just this. No trusting anybody over 12. No trusting anybody. No. No trust. I wish we didn't have to stop again. It's time to look for gas. It's almost time. I want my mother and my father back. I want them back. I want them back." And suddenly it seemed adventure was an overrated thing, and dread humped high and firm as stone outcroppings on the hills. "I wish that nothing ever happened to me," Gabriel whispered to the spider's web that broke the passing picture of the land. I wish that nothing came trampling across the sky to me. The seven tilting with the world were young, remember that, had lived impossibly plush lives as in the shining magazines that linger here and there, with shots of cars in colors we no longer see on Earth, women shrunk and twisted into poses, impossible to hold, yet beautiful, painted pouting, more like fairy glamour than anything that labors, eats, and dies, with houses where the rooms are warm and shine, no matter how it snows or how the ice collects in ropes along the crooked eaves. The world was one way, then it changed. The children squabbled over who would drive, until nobody wanted any more to pilot or to ride, and half were sick, their soda cans and candy wrappers strewn across the floor where Gabriel was tucked in a fetal curl and weeping steadily. The world grew dusky, noiseless, and the birds, dying in flight, came pelting from the sky, and all the land was hushed, and Gabriel seemed long and loud, though weeping quietly, and so the children kicked their legs at him and shouted for him to shut up, shut up. Yet Gabriel kept on with low-toned sobs, as if he meant to hurt no peace of mind, but weep until he'd washed the bitter shard of grief from out its mortal housing, heart that could not change with change, nor summon up a different rhythm for a different day. They reached a river's giant flood, a bridge, one bridge among the many, highway spans and one black trestle that meant trains once crossed, though everything was silent as in dreams, except the children shrieked for Gabriel to be a mute, a stone, a block, a tree, or anything that had no voice to speak. Let's put him down. Let's shove him out and leave. Yes, 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 I can't stand him. Another moment more, this terrible crybaby noise. Who couldn't cry? I will if he does not shut up. Let's put him down. The van was spraddled sideways in the road, and children tumbled from the sliding doors, accompanied by gay confetti bits of bags and wrappers and by tinny sounds from cans that bounced and reeled across the road. They dragged him from his lair beside a seat. They shouted at him that he'd learn a thing or two to not be so unendingly unbearable, to weep as all could weep but did not do. He'd learn a lesson, two or three or more. He could cry as he liked, and let nobody hear or care a whit. Cry to the wilderness of trees and ash, and let the earless creak and saw a response. He huddled on the pavement, sunk in tears, and only jumped up, pleading at the glass, when laughing faces looked from high on him. I'd like to say that they relented then, embraced the boy, and led him in to stay, one cruel lesson roughly taught and learned. Events went otherwise. They drove away. They drove away and left that little boy alone with bridges, river, blowing ash, immensity. He was 11, a child, beloved and seldom left alone in rooms. The landscape must have wallowed round his head, wavering, frightful, strange, making its threats in symbol language of a mighty sky that promised death, destruction, endless fire, and symbol language of the puissant stream that had been thicked and porridged by the ash, yet shoved on journeying to who knows where, to the sea, a place where he had been with pail and shovel, scooping castles from the sand, or floated on the spume his father near, or walked the water's edge to see the life that bubbled out of holes after a wave. Perhaps he also thought of one great crash that grasped and muscled him beneath the sea, the briny drink corrosive to his throat. Currents undertow, the helpless jostling, said he was nothing cherished by the sea. Perhaps recalled the slide of foreign flesh against his thigh, the fright of feeling death move coldly by, the temperature of waves no colder, and the waves not frolicsome as waves could seem when shattered into foam around his toes, though sucking toward the drain as water dragged and undermined his feet. A mile beyond the bridge end, Thalia shrieked order into riot, sued for peace, commanded that they turn for Gabriel. They laughed and mocked, but soon agreed and vowed they'd meant to do no more than stop his tears, no more than plug the noise, the endless noise, the wretched soundtrack to a trip that none would ever ask for, never dream to wish. And so they spun the wheel and headed south. The bridge hove into view as broad and long as it had been before. Not here, not here. A little farther. No, I think we've passed the spot. Look there, I spy his purple shirt. 3 times they drove the distance of the bridge, but nothing did they see, nothing at all, of Gabriel the Weeper, vanished, gone, as if a messenger had flown to earth and snatched him up to ashless paradise. I pray that it was so. The children paused and peered in murky waters where some saw a smudge of purple, flash of hand, but no one could agree another sight was true. They wandered, calling aimlessly his name. But lowering clouds ate up the echoed word, and children soon will tire of any game. They drove away again. The silence begged its questions. Children forage, slept and woke, to meet another ashen day. At times, a question begged for silence. Children leave the past behind and change, but silence stays, as road to inwardness and questions beg. All day they did what needed to be done, though silence looked in on them now and then, and after hours of hush and lassitude, often one would speak and words seem alien, half prophetic and frightening to hear. "And now we are six," murmured Thalia. "When we were one, we'd just begun. When we were two, we're nearly new. When we were three, we're hardly us. When we were four, we're not much more. When we were five, we're just alive. But now we're six, as clever as clever. So let's be six forever and ever." And Samuel leaned forward, asked, "What's that?" "Nothing. Just a poem I changed a bit to make it fit for us. It's called The End."